Well, you know, you're here in church with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Why don't you take a moment and greet those around you? Shake hands. Let them know who you are. Find out who they are. Amen, amen, amen. Well, praise God. Aren't you glad you get to come to church on a Sunday morning? Everybody say, I get to. I get to come to church. Hey, I want to remind you that this weekend we started life groups. Everybody say life groups. Amen. Where friends meet and connect, go down deeper. I want to encourage you, if you haven't already signed up to be in a life group, it's not too late. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not too late. I mean, we're gonna go through the boxes after church today and see who signed up and call and get it done. So even if you got a group starting tonight, like mine is starting tonight on parenting, Parenting Made Easy, it starts tonight. But if you signed up, hey, we'll get you in it and come over to my house and hang out tonight. But I want to encourage you to be a part of a life group. But this is how you sign up, get one of these things, fill it out, find a group you like. And I'm here to tell you, you're going to have a great time connecting and getting friends, meet friends. Well, this morning, you know, just kind of a message that's been on my heart and got some things I'd like to share that really, over time, has really transformed my life and just changed some things. I'm going to ask them to up on the screens to put Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17, 18, and 19 in the Amplified. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 14. And on the screens, it's going to be in the Amplified version, verses 17, 18, and 19. Ephesians 3, in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Everybody say Father. You know, Father is an intimate term, amen? Not just anybody's your father. Not just anybody's your daddy. And one of the great revelations that Jesus brought to the people of his day was that God was not just the omnipotent one, not just the omniscient one, not just the omnipresent one, but he's a father. Everybody say daddy. Everybody say dad-da. I mean, man, that first time that little kid goes to dad-da, you melt. Aren't you glad they get their D's before they get their M's? They see daddy before they say mama. They're going to be saying mama for the rest of their life, but thank God they're saying daddy right then. Dad-da. Yeah, they don't know that you called your daddy, but you do. Oh, it melts your heart. See, God is Father. We are family. Everybody say, we are family. We are family. I got all my sister and brothers with me. And now you know why I don't lead praise and worship. But one of the greatest revelations you can get is that church is family. It's not where you clock in and clock out and do your religious duty. No, it's family. Look at everybody around you and go, family. Yeah, we're family. We have a daddy. He's Jehovah God, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Sidkenu, Jehovah God, your daddy. Yeah. Who's your daddy, Jehovah? Yeah. That's a lot when you've said that, isn't it? He's daddy. Now, what we're reading here is a prayer that the Apostle Paul would pray over all the churches. And in this prayer, we find some really important things. And it says here in verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ would dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Oh man, what a prayer. You ought to pray that prayer over yourself and your family every single day. I mean, that's one of my go-to prayers over my family. But in the Amplified, I think in verse 17, it brings out some things in verse 17 to 18 that maybe are not brought out in the King James. It says, may Christ through faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. See, Jesus came to live, not vacation. Come on now. Spirit of God came to live in your heart, dwell in your heart, be in your heart. He didn't come to vacation. He didn't come to visit. He came to take up residence. He wants you to be rooted and grounded in the Spirit, be rooted and grounded in Jesus. And then notice this. He says, and then his permanent home in your hearts that you may be rooted deep in love. Everybody say deep in love. You know, I love as Pastor came forth and he brought the message and some of the vision, and he came up with this screen called Deeper. And then he said, take the stakes in your life and drive them a little bit deeper into the soil this year. And I love this word deeper because deep is a place, but deeper is an action and it's a continuation. If you're swimming deep, you're in a spot. You're into deep water. But if you're going deeper, that means you're going someplace. See, in 2014, we need to go someplace. We need to go someplace in our relationships with one another. How many of you enjoyed 21 days of prayer? Talk about going someplace. Oh, my goodness gracious. I missed 21 days of prayer. I mean, getting up every morning. Now, I don't normally get up at 5 a.m. Some of you probably do, but that's not my go-to time. But getting up at 5 a.m., getting the sleep out of your eyes, coming in here and praying, and then now we're doing prayer every Saturday at 9 o'clock. Come pray. I mean, it's cool. You want to be cool? Come to prayer on Saturdays. Yeah, man. And we come and we pray. But I'm here to tell you, by doing that, I've gone deeper, and I got in the deep, but man, I'm still swimming in prayer. It's kind of set the course for the year. But also, he said, one of the things was go deeper in our relationships with one another and relationally with the family of God and with your natural family. And the way that you go deeper is you go deeper in love. You know, the thing about deep or going deeper, if you dig deep, you find the buried treasure, don't you? If you dig deep, you hit that pocket of oil that nobody saw. When you dig deep, you find that spring of fresh, cool water. You know, when we lived in Cheyenne, Paige and I, we lived out on an area of 5 miles or 5 acre little plot of land, and we had a well. Anybody ever had a well? And it was 350 feet deep. And I'm here to tell you the water was amazing. Because it was fresh, it was cool. You know, we went and visited a home in Asheville, North Carolina called the Biltmore House. Anybody ever been there? The largest residence in the United States, single family dwelling, 175,000 square feet, 200 and some odd rooms. But the thing that makes that house so amazing is how they built it. For that day, it was way ahead of the time. They dug deep and put a foundation in there you wouldn't believe. See, the foundation determines how high the house can go, how big you can build a house. You can build a 175,000 square foot house that's concrete and steel and brick if you have the right kind of foundation. And our foundation has to be the love of God. Our foundation as believers and to have great relationships with one another has to be that digging deep. Everybody say, don't be a shallow how. Anybody ever watch that movie, Shallow Hal? I'm embarrassed to say I actually watched it. But it's about this guy. He was just shallow. He wasn't deep, folks. He was shallow. You know, if somebody walks up and says that person's shallow, is that a compliment? No, it's usually a criticism. But if somebody, boy, he's a deep thinker. Yeah, it's a good thing. So I want to share with you some things about going deeper in your relationships and deeper and putting down roots and being deep where the family of God and where your relationships are concerned. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13 is a scripture that has meant a lot to me over the years. Galatians 5, 13 and 14, I'll read this out of the King James, and I'm going to ask them to put verse 14 up on the Amplified. Galatians 5, verse 14, and the Amplified up on the screens. I'm going to read verses 13 and 14 out of the King James. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. I love that phrase. But by love serve one another. You want to go deeper in your relationships, but by love serve. You want to go deeper with your wife, but by love, serve. You want to go deeper with your husband, but by love, serve. You may not, I got to put my husband's name in there? Yeah, if you want to go deeper. Absolutely. But by love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I love the Amplified Version. For the whole law concerning human relationships. What do we want to do? We want to go deeper in 2014 in our relationships. And it says, for the whole law, or the directions, or how you can go deeper concerning human relationships, is compiled within one precept. You shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. Oh, praise God. Relationships and going deeper. When you take a look at this verse and you take a look at the word serve here, but by love, serve one another. The word serve here means literally from the Greek, it means to involuntarily be bound to do service to and for one another. That's a heavy revy, isn't it? Involuntarily be bound to do service to and for one another. The word involuntary means not voluntary, independent of one's will. You know, I'm responsible to serve you. I'm responsible to serve my wife. It's a responsibility. You know, as you grow in the love of God, you begin to assume certain responsibilities as a child of God. You know, we are in a covenant relationship in the family of God, and in that covenant, we give up rights, but we assume responsibilities. How many of you like your little kids when they're little? Aren't they just cute? But how about the day they could hold the bottle for themselves? Yes. How about the day when they could dress themselves? Now, you're probably like me. We have all these pictures of our little ones, and none of the clothes match. And they ask you, why did you put me in that? And I love it when there's teenagers and you start looking at the baby pictures. Why did you dress me like that? And you go, I didn't dress you like that. You did. But as they get older, they begin to assume responsibilities. They begin to do. What do they do? They begin to, but by love, serve. They begin to take responsibility and do things in the home. See, as children of God, we follow the example of Jesus. Jesus said, I didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister and give my life a ransom for many. Jesus said in other translations, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. Jesus gave and paid the ultimate price for each and every one of us. He gave, and in the family of God, in this dynamic relationship that each and every one of us are a part of, one of the things we get to do is to serve one another. One of the greatest characteristics of love is to give. You know, I was reading recently and looked up the original Hebrew for the word love, and it literally means in the Hebrew, it means to give. Lovers are givers, and givers are lovers. But it also means to serve, but by love, serve. Lovers are servers, and servers are lovers. You know, in the local church, it's a family, and God sets you in a place. God plants you. Isaiah 68:6, it says he puts the lonely in families. Years ago, I just was a young fella in my 20s, just gotten saved, and I found a really great word church just like this. Church was real small, about 40 people. And so I began to attend the church, and man, it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Oh, I was growing. Man, the word was wonderful. I'd come and I'd sit in church. But after about 3 months, it just wasn't the same. After 3 months, I'd get to church. Everybody would be doing this and stuff, and I'd sit in my little chair, and it just wasn't the same. And this church, I don't know, maybe they got these chairs on sale somewhere. Maybe somebody saw them when they were coming, but they were literally folding chairs that had plastic little cushions, and when you sat in, it would go, psh. We called them the whoopee cushion chair. I mean, seriously, when the pastor said, now everybody can be seated, it really went, and the auditorium was about the size of this stage, okay? Stage might have actually been bigger for that matter. So I'm sitting there and I'm complaining. I had decided that morning, I had said to myself, I said, you know what? They don't appreciate my gift. And the answer is, what gift? I think I'll find me a better church. So I'm sitting there in my chair, plotting out the next place I'm going to go attend. I'm about to become a tumbleweed Christian. I'm going to tumble someplace else. You know what a tumbleweed is, don't you? Tumbleweed is a plant that has been disconnected from its roots, and now it's just a blowing anywhere it wants to go. Actually, it goes wherever the wind takes it. You know, back a few years ago, I was driving across the plains of Kansas. We lived in Cheyenne. We were pastoring there, and we were going to Tulsa for a conference. Me and three other guys from my church were driving, and I'm here to tell you the wind was blowing 40 miles an hour, and you could feel the truck going like this. But the thing that I remember the most is there were tumbleweeds, literally hundreds of them, thousands of them, rolling across the interstate. Plants that used to be connected, plants that used to be doing something, and all of a sudden now they're disconnected and they're just blowing. And they're just a-going. And they're hitting the truck and we're hitting them. I mean, we have to stop. We have to pull tumbleweeds out. God doesn't want you to be a tumbleweed. He doesn't want your relationships to be tumbleweeds. Disconnect and just blow away. And so here I am. I'm about to disconnect and blow away. And then a guy asked me a question that changed my destiny forever. Would you like to hear that profound statement? You may want to write this in your notes. He said, Marcus, would you like to usher? And I went, sure. And then all of a sudden, I experienced what it meant to, but by love, serve one another. All of a sudden, something on the inside of me perked up. And that day, I began to serve the body of Christ. I began to serve my church. And all of a sudden, everybody in my section had to give. You take an envelope, man. You're giving today. Come on, you're giving. Don't you put your hand up. That's back when we did hands and envelopes. And then I started serving. I mean, you didn't have to make me come to church. I couldn't wait to get to church. I mean, on the way home, I said, well, I have this heavy revelation. The Lord wants us to stay here. Duh, you think? What changed? All of a sudden, I'm serving. All of a sudden, I'm receiving. And all of a sudden, I'm giving out. All of a sudden, I'm ministering. I'm doing something. You know, I love our church and I love our dream team because our dream team is the place where you connect in a relationship to each other to minister to somebody besides yourself. And I got hooked on serving. I mean, I'd come early just to find something to do. And then we started, there was just three of us that would usher every Sunday in this small little church. And we had a little children's area with a puppet stage. And the three of us would get behind the puppet stage and pray before church. And we prayed down heaven. I guarantee you those services were better because the three of us, Harry, Larry, and Marcus are back there. Oh, Lord, please. But I'm telling you, I got close to Harry and Larry. Both of them went on to Bible school. Both of them are in the ministry. I went on, went into the ministry. But boy, those were glorious days. But the point I put to you is when you do that, but by love serve, you're actually doing what Jesus said to take part of you and put it out there. It's not something I do voluntarily. No, it's I do something because my Lord said, Marcus, but by love serve. And when you serve, you'll go in deep in those relationships. See, when you begin to give to someone, you begin to serve them, it opens you up to them. How many times has somebody's act of kindness and somebody's ministered to you or done something, all of a sudden it opened you up to them to receive even more from them? You know, when you come to church, the church has a supply for you, but you also have a supply for the church. Oh, let's say that again. When you come to the church has a supply for you, but you have a supply to the church. Everybody say, I've got a supply. And see, when you give that supply, you go down deeper. But when you give that supply, it promotes your relationship in your church. Giving and serving promotes your relationship. It develops it. It moves it forward. And then there are two things that protect your relationship with your family and protect your relationship with your spiritual family. And those two things are repenting and forgiving. I want to promote my relationship by serving, but I also want to protect it by repenting when I need to repent and forgiving when I need to forgive. I'm going to ask them to put Mark 11:25 in the Amplified up on the screen. I was reading, I know I've read this verse many, many times. I was reading in my Joyce Meyer's devotional the other day, and she had this, and it just, when I read it, I thought, surely I've read this before. Mark 11:25 in the Amplified. And it reads this, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop, leave it, let it go, in order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop. Don't you love that phrasing? Forgive him and let it drop, leave it, let it go. Everybody say, leave it and let it go. Leave it and let it go. I'm going to ask him to put Psalms 92, verses 12, 13, and 14 in the Amplified up on the screens. See, the thing that God the Father wants us to do with our relationships with each other, especially in our local church, he wants them to go deeper. He wants you to be rooted and grounded deep. Rooted and grounded deep in those relationships. And in Psalms 92, we see some of the benefits of this, some of this connecting. And in Psalms 92, let me turn over there. In Psalms 92, verse 12, it says, "The uncompromisingly righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, be long-lived, stately, upright, useful, and fruitful. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic, stable, durable, and uncorruptible. Planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God, growing in grace." You see a picture here of what it's supposed to be like in your church, in your church family, in your relationships, connected, growing, and protected. There are three things that you're going to get in your church and get as you get into groups and you do these things, you're going to get connected. And connected means it opens you to a flow. You know, yesterday I decided to wash my wife's car. It's a brand new car. Haven't washed it since, so I decided to be a good husband and wash her car. But in order to wash her car, I had to hook up to the source of the flow of the water. I had to take that hose and hook it up, put the end on it, and then I opened it up. And then when I did, I pulled that handle, and I got that car nice and wet. Go look at Paige's car. It looks really good today. See, when you connect in your church, when you put down roots, what happens is it opens you to a flow. You've got a flow, but you're receiving a flow. You're a part of that flow. And then when you connected, you begin to grow. See, the thing about it is, verse 12 happens as a result of verse 13. Planted, you put down roots. You know, I've studied palm trees over the years, and we had a guest speaker a few months share some things. But the great thing about palm trees, if you look it up, it's cool, the root system, it goes out and it goes down. I mean, I got a picture of one. And really, the roots are going out, and then from these roots that go out, they send little feeder roots to other places. Being rooted and grounded in Jesus, but also being rooted and grounded in the body of Christ and the family of God. And when you put out those feeders, and you put out those roots, and you go deep in those relationships, what happens then? All of a sudden, those other palm trees that are doing it, all of a sudden, they get intertwined and they get interconnected. Let the winds blow. They're not going nowhere. They are connected, and now they're putting roots in. And I believe that's a picture of the body of Christ. That's the picture of the family of God. That's the picture that God wants all of us. We're putting roots down in our Heavenly Father. We're putting roots down in Daddy, but we're putting roots in each other. And that's what the early church did. The early church, if you read it over there in Acts 2:42, and I'll ask them to put that on the screens, that's what the early church did, is they got connected, they grew, but I'm here to tell you, they were protected. They put Peter and John in jail, and the church went to praying. They said, if you're going to get to them, you got to go through us. Woe to the one who is by himself. You know, I've had a few opportunities in my life, but my natural family and my church family has always come around me to seal me and to protect me. It's basically saying, devil, if you want to get to him, you got to go through us. And we're not backing down. See, when you're connected in this family, when you're experiencing biblical community, koinonia, the fellowship produced and by the Spirit of God, then all of a sudden what happens, everybody closes ranks. And you're connected. The wind may blow, but you're not falling over. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Oh, I've wobbled a few times. Oh, but thank God I had family. Thank God we are family. I wish I was cool. I wish I could do that. But anyway. See, that's what our life group system is all about. We don't do life groups just to do life groups because everybody else does it. But Pastor has a vision for going deeper in relationships and connecting us to each other. And did you realize you have a flow, you have a source, you have something to put into your brothers and sisters? But if you don't know them, you can't do it. If you're not connected, you can't do it. If you never see them, I'm here and say, hello. I know my sister Laura. I know her good habits, her bad habits. Why? Because we lived together growing up. We will not do a dissertation on her right now. She might listen to the tape and not like it. Yeah, but I know her. See, when you get involved in a life group, somebody knows you. Let me kind of wind down with this. We started life groups. Pastor, one of the things when Paige and I came down and we came on staff, one thing she said, we really want to do life groups. We really want to connect people. You know, they were doing healing school at 8:30 and doing married life at 10. And I encourage you to be a part of healing school. Oh, healing school is a great place to go learn the word about divine healing. It's every single Sunday morning at 8:30. What a blessing. Amen. And then we have married life for couples. Oh, we're going to have a great married life this morning. You ought to sashay over there after this one and be a part of married life. It's going to be good this morning. We got Reverend Tyler Thompson in there. He's going to share about the importance of godly parents. It's going to be cool. But when we did our groups last year, we did, Paige and I, we did a married life group with young couples. And we had a couple join our group. And matter of fact, the wife was in a women's group also. This couple had been going to church for a little bit over a year and a half. And they had gone through our growth track, which is where you start getting connected to the church and growing. And they learned about things. And then they got involved in the dream team and started putting out roots. But then they got connected in a life group. And then all of a sudden, they had an emergency happen. An opportunity in their life happened one night. It was a Monday night. I'll never forget it. I had a fantasy football, Monday night football party, watching the Saints play the Seattle Seahawks. And I get a call on my phone. So-and-so's being rushed to the hospital. You need to call them. Well, I'm their life group leader, and I did that. So I called him and said, hey, what's going on? He gave me the situation about his wife and what was going on. I said, okay. What scripture are we going to stand on? Let's pray. Let's get in agreement. And we did. Man, we grabbed hold. They had just gotten to hospital, and we're praying. We're believing God. People from the women's life group and from our couples life group started calling them. And over the process of time, because they were connected to us and we were connected to them, when they needed something, the church was there to fulfill their supply. She ended up being in the hospital for a while. We were visiting, we were calling, we were connecting, they were receiving, and we saw God show up. My goodness, you talk about a miracle. You talk about God. Man, the reports weren't good, but now the reports are joyous and great. I talked to him yesterday, and he was saying, man, things are great. But it's a great example of family. It's a great example of the early church. It's the great example of having your own company. You know, in Acts 4:23, when Peter and John got out of jail, said they went to their own company. That word own means to pertaining to oneself. It's a part of you. Just like I have my own family. I've got Paige. I've got my kids and grandkids. They're connected to me. They're a part of me. We're connected by blood. But I'm here to tell you, God wants you to be connected in the family of God to a local church. You are spirit. You are life. You're connected by the Spirit of God. And when you're connected, I'm here to tell you, you can do more together than you can by yourself. And if the wind blows, I'm here to tell you, you're not by yourself. And then what happens is you begin to experience the biblical community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You begin to experience. Y'all probably have forgotten that, but it says experience that love, the height, the depth, the breadth, and the length of that you might experience it. Not just know about it, but you experience it. Folks, it's one thing about knowing about a roller coaster. It's a totally different thing about getting on it and experiencing that roller coaster. Ah! And you take a 53-year-old man and he can grow hair on his head. Experience means you're doing it. You're involved in it. It's part of you. And I'm here to tell you, folks, experiencing life and relationships and growing deeper by serving, growing deeper by connecting, growing deeper. Then all of a sudden, when life blows, and it will, when the storms rise, and they shall, then all of a sudden you meet that storm with great faith and determination because you're not by yourself. I'll close with this story. One time I had a situation where I was on staff at a church, and a gentleman walked in, and he did not want to be at the church. He began to say some things and do some things, and began to get to be real loud, and it was apparent that maybe he needed to be someplace else at that time. And so I walked up to that gentleman, and I said, okay, look, I understand, but we can't let you talk like that. He was cursing and doing some stuff. I'm going to have to ask you to go outside, and he's a big guy. He's a big dude. And I was kind and loving, but I had to be firm. And he went and did what he needed to do. Tried to minister to him, but he wouldn't receive. So he went. And one of the ladies watched those. She said, wow, Pastor Marcus, you were strong. Man, that was good. But you loved him. You tried to witness to him. But you didn't let him push up because he began to come at me. And I just stood my ground very lovingly and very kind. And I said, well, it was easy. I had Dunn right here. And Dunn was 6'3", 280 pounds, an old biker. And he's a tough guy. Then I had Henry over here. He could lift an engine out by himself. At least that's what they told me. What was I worried about? To get to scrawny little old me, they had to get through them. Folks, I'm here to tell you, when you experience biblical community, when you experience the family of God, you ain't by yourself. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. But that's just not all the verse. Part of it is, yes, he will never leave us, but he wanted to plant you in a place where you had people full of the life of God with skin on them. Isn't it nice to have somebody with skin on them? Ooh, I like it when somebody's out there, they got skin on them. Okay, just remind me. Yeah, that's right, the Lord is my, yeah, just remind me, skin on them. And you're connected, you're growing, you're protected, and you're experiencing biblical community. Don't let our life groups pass you by. If you're not too busy, get connected to it. It'll help you grow. It'll bring protection in your life. But what'll happen is you'll experience biblical community. Aren't you glad that God planted you in this church? He didn't just haphazardly. No, he planted you in this church. And he planted you to be connected, grow, and protected. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for family. Oh, Father God, thank you. Thank you for family, and thank you for this family. You know, the Bible says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. in order to become a part of the family of God, it's the easiest thing you ever did. You don't have to give a blood sample. You don't have to sign a contract. You don't have to do anything except, Jesus, come into my heart. Save me, change me, rearrange me. And if you would say, you know, I joined the family, but I kind of got away from my father, all you got to do is say, Daddy, I repent. Please forgive me. And you come back home. So I'm going to lead us all in a prayer, but I want everybody to pray this. And you may be in here saying, I want to join the family. Not this church, but the family of God. We're going to lead you in a prayer to do that. Or you might say, you know, I'm a little backslid, or I'm a little out of sorts. Pray this prayer, and all will be forgiven, and you can move forward in the family of God. So let's all pray this together this morning to our Father, to our Dad. Say this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus is your Son, sent to die for me. I believe this morning, as I confess with my mouth, you take away all my sin, all the hurt, all the pain, and you give me a new heart, new life in the family connected to you. Daddy, I come back home. Thank you for receiving me. I receive it all in Jesus' name. Amen.